We're going to Egypt now because the Minister for the Environment and Climate, Eamon Ryan, will address the COP27 Conference of Parties on Climate Change at Sharm el-Sheikh today. He's on the line. Good morning. And Minister, your speech comes as the latest report on Ireland's climate change credentials is published by the Climate Change Performance Index. It gives us an improved but still low ranking, 37 out of 60 countries. We know our emissions are rising. We're the third highest emitter per capita in the EU, and the Greens are in government here. Is there a sense of embarrassment as you prepare to speak to delegates there?
No, because we are improved. And as the report says, we are putting the right policies in place. But correctly, we now need to deliver in the reductions that across so many different sectors. And the need for that, well, first is going to be good for our country, good for the economy. But we cannot opt out. We cannot say Ireland, a green country, is not going to go in this direction. And we have the right policies in place. We do not have to deliver them. It'll be challenging, but it'll be good for the country. And I think we'll see that ranking continuing to rise if we do that. And it'll be backed up by, I think, some of the agreements that we hope, and nothing certain here in Sharm el-Sheikh, in the 27th meeting of the world to discuss this climate issue. But what is clear is that other countries, all our peers, are committing to similar levels of ambition, so we cannot opt out.
Well, this report, it acknowledges that the goals are there, certainly, but they're critical of the government. They say your implementation is weak, your necessary actions and measures that are needed to reduce our emissions are delayed or ignored in many areas. Do you accept that?
What they said is true. We have to now deliver. They say we have the right policies in place, but we have to deliver. The latest update of our climate action plan will be published before Christmas, and it will set out very specific and very concrete and very real, backed up by law, measures that we do have to take. It is starting. In the likes of retrofitting our homes, we are on target. We have some 27,000 houses this year that will be upgraded, improved, bills reduced because of people taking action with government support, significant support. The areas that are probably likely to be difficult is in the areas of transport and agriculture, because there you have long-term patterns. In transport, a long-term pattern of car-dependent system, we need to switch that towards a much stronger system based on active travel, public transport, reducing the need for travel by promoting things like remote working. We can and will deliver that. In agriculture, similarly, while that tends to get all the attention, in my mind, it's one of the areas where we will see progress quickly. Because if you look at, again, what the government has done last week, which wouldn't be in time for this international report, the new forestry programme we're putting in will give farmers the income to both continue farming and engage in forestry. And it's those sort of measures where we get additional revenue to farmers through anaerobic digestion, to reducing the use of fertiliser, which saves farmers money. That has to deliver. And by law, under our law, if those measures aren't working, then the ministers will be compelled to introduce further measures. Mm. That's backed up by European law, which is going in that direction. So yes, we have to now deliver. I'm confident that we can do so. We have to do so, because not doing so, I think our country would fall behind and would be seen as a laggard. That is changing. We are going up the rankings. We now need to put the foot to the pedal and go much further, faster.
But they talk about the need for fundamental change in our fossil fuel use. They're not talking about having a new bridge here or new pathways there. We're burning more coal. We're using more gas. There's too much methane being emitted from cows. That has to stop. That has to change from the top.
That does, and that will stop. Again, last week, not in time for this report, but what we published is the rules that we've put in place, the auction supports, to go real large scale with offshore wind to be able to power a country towards a zero carbon system. You're right, transport is the one probably that's most difficult. But there, the latest iteration of the Climate Action Plan will show that system change is exactly what we need to do. to reduce the amount of travel we have to do, to reduce the amounts of car dependency, to reallocate road space so that it's easier to take the bus, it's safer to walk and to cycle, and in that way achieve the lowering of emissions, but also develop a transport system that works. The current system, dependent on cars for every sort of journey, does not work, because when we all are in our cars, the roads get gridlocked.
So is that why you're also targeting a change in the target for 1 million electric vehicles by 2030? Is that changing?
Yes, recognising actually it's more systemic change we need. If we just replace every car with another type of car, the system wouldn't work. It would gridlock. We have to go further. We have to, this is particularly in this next 8 years, we have to halve our transport emissions. Mm. And when I say to the local authorities, I'm going around the country visiting every council to work out and to discuss and listen to councillors with how we make this change. And what I say to them, which is absolutely true, not doing it is not an option.
So what is the target now for electric vehicles by 2030?
We'll publish those details in the plan. It's not finally agreed with government yet until, as said, in the coming weeks. Mm.
Is it more to do, though, that the energy infrastructure is not in place to support a target of 1 million electric vehicles in 8 years' time?
No, it's that the roads couldn't take. If we just continue on a car dependent system, we wouldn't have space. And also, we don't replace one dependency with another. We made ourselves dependent on imported fossil fuels. With the systems we have at present, we can't replace that being dependent on imported rare earth metals or other equipment. We need to actually be clever, to use less, to create a circular economy and to increase our own prosperity in that way. We are actually good at this transition in a number of ways. Yes, we need to go much further and need to see real emissions reductions. But in terms of the use of electricity and the use of renewable wind, we've seen, if you look at the statistics for the last 2 months, now I take it it's been a very windy period, but if you look at what we're doing as a country, on regular occasions, 3/4 of our power coming from wind power. We are good at how we use that wind. We're actually one of the leading countries in the world. Now, developing the infrastructure for using electricity in transport and to heat our homes, as well as powering our industry, that is the industrial revolution that is evolving across the world.
Okay.
I'm absolutely convinced Ireland can and will be good at this for our own interests, but also playing our part in solving the greatest challenge of our time, which is to stop this world burning.
I want to ask you about the CETA trade deal, the agreement that was reached between the EU and Canada a few years ago. Now, last week, the Supreme Court agreed with Patrick Costello, who was a Green Party TD, he's lost the whip, that part of this trade deal agreed is unconstitutional. So is the right thing to do to hold a referendum to fix it?
First thing I'd say, Patrick is to be commended. It was a brave and difficult thing to do, to take the legal case and the risks that brought. The court backed up a number of the points in law which he raised, and they're very significant. We have to reflect on that judgment and read it in real detail. We have to read all 7, because there was different views within the Supreme Court itself. So I think first and foremost, and what's a very complex legal issue, we don't rush to a conclusion. My understanding of what the Supreme Court said is that it wasn't necessary to have a referendum, but as I said, what I want to do before passing judgment on their judgment is to read all 7 judges and the very extensive points that they have considered. I think this is a good example of the strength we have in our country, the separation of powers. We have an independent judicial system that does hold government to account, particularly when it comes to constitutional matters.
Okay.
And I think the best thing to do is to give that the due respect it deserves, to really heed the judgments, and that takes a certain amount of time because they are complex issues.
Yeah, 6 of the 7 recommended amending the legislation rather than having a referendum. But Patrick Costello and another TD outside the parliamentary party at the moment, Nasa Harrigan, has said that they may vote against the government again if you try and fix it through legislation rather than a referendum. Could this get very tricky for you if more of your party join them?
First, I don't want to preempt what the approach the government will take in response to the judgment. I think, as I said, we shouldn't be jumping several hurdles in advance. I was pleased that Patrick and Nasa both indicated they will be looking to rejoin the party. I think that's a good thing for us and for them, and it gives us strength in terms of how we provide our role in government to try and help our country through very challenging and difficult times. That's what we're going to do.
Okay.
And as a collective unit, I'm confident we can and will work well together.
All right. Well, just one final question then on another issue in the news at the moment, and that is the litany of abuse allegations which have emerged in the past week against members of the Spiritan Order who taught in schools here. Do you think there now needs to be an inquiry into those schools which have been run by this order?
Well, firstly, I think the people who've come out and exposed what happened deserve first huge commendation. It's a time and a period where I can recall within my lifetime, and it was hidden. It was not talked about. And I think their courage in doing that has been the first most important development. I'm reluctant to decide here now in terms of whether we go to an inquiry system. And one of the questions will be, well, are we going to go through every kind of school or other system in the country? So the practicalities or the mechanisms for doing that, I think, can't be rushed. And it isn't a black and white issue, because I think there are questions then, well, because there could be the case, and there certainly is the case, for similar inquiries in a whole range of different circumstances, what happened to our country in the past. But first things first, I think the bravery and the courage and the correct approach that those have taken of speaking out, I think has served what is a very sad and difficult and damaging period in our history. To expose it in the first place was the most important development.
Okay, thank you very much indeed for talking to us on Morning Ireland. Eamon Ryan, Minister for the Environment and Climate and leader of the Green Party, live from Egypt. It's 7:51.